5 months of political uncertainty coming to an end in Germany. Members of the Social Democrats have voted in favour of a coalition with Chancellor Angela Merkel's Conservatives. The result hands the long-serving leader her fourth term in office. The deal opens the way to a new government in Europe's largest economy and breaks the deadlock following September's election.
Dubai appears to be on the right track to become the world's leader in cutting-edge transportation. It's just revealed yet another futuristic innovation, what it's calling an autonomous pod. The Italian-made electric pods can carry up to 10 people. The United Arab Emirates is planning to transform daily travel in Dubai, aiming for 25% self-driving by 2030.
The White House on Monday welcoming Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to come and talk to President Trump about a range of issues. The visit likely a welcome distraction for the four-term prime minister after Israeli police last month recommended that the 68-year-old be indicted for bribery in two cases. And on Friday, Netanyahu faced a new round of questioning from detectives in connection with a third investigation.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's March 6, 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. Great broadcast in store for you this morning. A little bit later on in the program, Patricia Cuttoletta will be here from Morgan Stanley and the Cuttoletta Group here in Chicago. It's International Women's Day coming up later this week, and all this week we were dedicating some of our segments to women's issues, and Pat will be here to talk a little bit about some of those in our second segment this morning. In a minute, we'll be talking about the tremendous success of an olive oil company, Colavetta Olive Oil USA. The CEO of the company will be with us this morning to talk about how e-commerce is a big part of the success there. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures are pointing toward opening gains later this morning on Wall Street, up 77 on the Dow. NASDAQ futures are up 31 points. S&P futures up just about 7. Around the globe this morning, lots of green from Europe, with the markets in London up almost a full percent. Same story in Germany, and a similar story happening in France this morning. And in Asia, most of the markets are higher as well, with the Nikkei ready to finish at almost up 2%, 375 points. The Hang Seng going to finish up 2% as well, at 624 points to the positive this morning. Oil is trading at $62.76 a barrel, up about 19 cents. A couple of headlines, business headlines this morning we're following for you. McDonald's starting today will offer fresh beef rather than frozen patties in some burgers at thousands of its restaurants, a switch first announced about a year ago as it works to appeal to customers who want fresher foods. Fresh beef rollout will happen with the Quarter Pounder starting in 3,500 restaurants today. A lawsuit has been filed against Dick's Sporting Goods by an Oregon man who claims the store discriminated against the 20-year-old when they refused to sell him a rifle. Dick's and Walmart's restricted gun sales to adults 21 and older in the wake of the Florida high school massacre. The 19-year-old accused in the shooting bought an AR-15 used in the attack legally. Oregon law allows residents to buy shotguns for anybody starting at the age of just 18 years old. And in Washington, the House Speaker Paul Ryan and other top Republicans, allies of President Trump, have pleaded with him to back away from his threatened international tariffs, which they fear could spark a dangerous trade war and negatively impact the U.S. economy. The president has said that neighbors Canada and Mexico would not be spared from his plans for special import taxes on steel and aluminum. The success story, Colavetta Olive Oil, is a good one that we wanted to share with you this morning. E-commerce is a big part of that. Giovanni Colavetta is the CEO of the company and is with us this morning. Giovanni, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Congratulations
on... Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, well, we're happy to have you. We wanted to bring you on to talk about how you've had success over the last year or two especially, and how e-commerce has been involved with that. But first, tell us a little bit about your company.
Good morning. My company is, I'm in the third generation. It's a family business. It's owned and operated by the family. The company was started by my grandfather in 1938. We produce extra virgin olive oil. And 40 years ago, my family introduced the extra virgin olive oil was the first company to introduce extra virgin olive oil to the American families. We pioneered through, you know, a store like William Sonoma, Zabers, Zingerman, and other visionary gourmet stores. And today we are, of course, distributed all over the country, and we are present in over 80 countries across the world.
The e-commerce that I'm mentioning is a place that a lot of folks might recognize Cola Vita if they don't find it in some of the stores that you already mentioned, and that is with some of the meal kits, especially HelloFresh. The little bottle of Cola Vita is a staple in most of those boxes, isn't it?
Yes, that's a nice story, actually. A personal success, let's say. We have been investing for many years in the online, even when the online was not even mature in the food business. So we invested allocating resources to get ready for this explosion of consumption in terms of even logistically, you know, fulfillment center, resource, human resources, social media, and so on. So at the time I was following, this is September 2013 when we started our relationship with HelloFresh, I was following all the online sales or our online store, and I saw that one customer bought 1,000 bottle or mini bottles of Cola Vita. So I said, something is strange. I mean, why? So I checked, and it was this HelloFresh.com. So I researched it, and I realized there was a retailer. So I said, I like this. I thought, well, you know, it was a group of young kids. I said, let me support them. Let me partner with them. I told my marketing team, let's do a campaign with them. Let's part. And we started. I mean, they were buying five cases every other month of product, and here we are. They are a driving force in the online business today, in our online business and in the meal kit business. So we partner as much as us becoming one of the shareholders in the IPO in 2000 last year. We invested. We trusted so much the project to invest.
From 2014 to 2017, your company saw a growth of about 1,700% in e-commerce. Do you attribute some of that or all of that to HelloFresh, or is there something more going on?
No, it's not just that. HelloFresh is definitely a significant part of that, but I would say 50% of that is HelloFresh. The other part is Amazon and the online business, even with the brick-and-mortar online business. The regular brick-and-mortar stores with their online part. So with the Kroger of the world, with Stop & Shop, ShopRite, that business exploded, I would say, 2 years ago. But again, is the result of investment of a while. And what I believe is for our company, I mean, I was estimating today is 15% of our total e-commerce business is online, of our total business is online. And I was estimated last year when we budget for this year, we were estimating to get to 30% in 3 years. But the first 2 months of the year have just been exploding. And so we may be already at 25% probably of our total sales this year. The reason why I think is changing, the consumer is changing, and the way to go to approach even grocery is changing. I don't believe that the brick and mortar will disappear, because first of all, they are reacting and they are getting ready to play the same game. And at the same time, I don't think all the consumer is going to switch to go online only. But I believe that in the next 10 years, we will get to 50-50. So 50% of the business online and 50% in brick and mortar. And for Cola Vita, they will probably arrive sooner than that. Will probably be in 3 to 5 years.
Giovanni, hang on with us. We're going to take a quick break here to check traffic this morning. But when we come back, we'll talk more about that and how Amazon plays into that.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, investors opened their week with a rally driving up the Dow Jones Industrial Average nearly 337 points to 24,874. The NASDAQ advanced 73 points to 7,330. The S&P 500 picked up 30 points, just over 1%. Lawyers for the Trump Organization expect to prevail in a dispute over the ownership of the company's luxury hotel in Panama City, Panama. On Monday, Trump's executives were ousted from their management offices, and the word Trump was taken off the marquee at the building. Pennsylvania's attorney general has filed suit against Uber, saying it broke state law by waiting a year to notify more than 13,000 drivers that their personal information had been stolen by hackers. Washington, D.C. and Chicago have similar suits against the ride-hailing company. And Walmart is expanding its meal kits nationwide, ramping up the competition with Amazon. The kits contain pre-portioned ingredients that have to be prepared or one-step meals that need to be heated. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 524. We're on this morning with Giovanni Colavita from Colavita USA, CEO of the company. And Giovanni, we were talking earlier about Amazon and how that's involved in your strategy. I want to tell you a little story about me. Yesterday, I was out looking for olive oil, specifically to do a little research for the broadcast this morning, and couldn't find Colavita in the two stores I went to. But it right as hit Amazon, you're number one there on the search and bestseller, and it was delivered yesterday afternoon. Is that the strategy that you're looking for to make the gains this year?
We continue to invest, and I'm sure you couldn't find it on the retailers, but we have a good presence in Chicago, and we love actually your area, the Marianos, around this. We have a lot. I mean, we have a presence on the brick and mortar stores, but definitely our strategy is to be. We believe that the strong online presence helps to educate all consumers about product quality, recommended uses, the consumer testimony to benefit not only Colavita item sales online, but also retail. But definitely there is this new trend of online sales, which we have been, again, as I said, investing for many years, that I believe is the direction that the company should take to, again, not only to promote online, but even to educate the consumer, because it's easier to do through online.
Yeah, and the other part of this is the healthy eating craze that's going on in a lot of the country. We've talked a little bit about HelloFresh earlier, but there are any number one of these meal kits that are really encouraging people to not only eat healthy, but to make creations. And a lot of times olive oil is included in that. Is that part of this as well?
Actually, HelloFresh and the meal kit company consider olive oil, salt, and pepper like staples items, so they don't provide those items. They assume you have in your pantry. What they provide is like vinegars, the assortment of vinegars. So they provide you the pasta, the tomato. But definitely, what I keep calling meal kit company, even if I think it's not more a meal kit, just a meal kit. It's more about educational, healthy, and premium. Like, for example, what I would say differentiate the HelloFresh box and why HelloFresh has been growing and becoming, I guess, number one in the States and worldwide now is the quality of the ingredients and the recipes they've provided. So I think it's definitely the premium box that you can find out there versus the player that maybe started the carrier like Blue Apron, which they don't have that premium bag. You just open the bag, you just compare looking at the two boxes and you realize, just even before trying the product. So that's what I think has been the winning for HelloFresh.
Giovanni, you mentioned earlier the history of your company and the founding of it. What do you think your founding family members would think of today and how we buy product? Do you think they could have ever foresaw what's happening now?
No, if I think of my grandfather working in the mill, producing product and thinking, only dreaming, he would not even dream where we are today and actually how the market evolved, I think was we are so far, it's growing so much and that it was not, couldn't be expected such something like this.
It's wonderful.
I would be proud.
Yeah, and it's wonderful, too, that you're continuing the tradition of that family. Giovanni, we appreciate you taking some time out for us, and best of luck to everybody at Colavita.
Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me.
Giovanni Colavita, the CEO of Colavita USA, with more on his company's success these days with e-commerce and the virgin olive oil product lines. We can tell you, we can direct you to the website there at colavita.com for you to find more about this, and we'll post more with the podcast of the show later this morning at WGNRadio.com.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Sean Chu helped lead his last tech company, Fieldglass, to a $1 billion exit. Today, he's nearly 3 years into his next venture, Catalytic, a fast-growing Chicago startup that's landing Fortune 500 customers and backing from big-name investors. In 2016, Catalytic raised $11 million for its artificial intelligence startup and is preparing to raise even more next quarter. Restaurant reservation site OpenTable has fired an employee who made hundreds of fake restaurant reservations at Chicago restaurants on rival platform Reserve, according to Eater Chicago. The scheme was designed to create an influx of no-shows at restaurants around the city. And Chicago startup Spikeball may soon launch a new product. The former Shark Tank startup teased a video on Twitter that brings its popular sand game into the water. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. International Women's Day is later this week, Thursday, as a matter of fact. And all this week here in The Opening Bell, we're discussing women's issues and changing the conversation to focus on that, as we are this morning as well. Patricia Cudaletta is with us this morning of the Cudaletta Group, part of Morgan Stanley. Patricia, good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back.
A lot's been going on since we talked the last, since you were in last, and it seems like it's more than a movement. You know, we've been talking on this show about Me Too and Time's Up. International Women's Day has been a focus this week, but it feels like something else is going on in the world to bring women up, bring parity, both with pay, to have these issues forefront. Are you feeling that as well?
I don't know that I think anything is terribly different just in the last few weeks or months, but there's no doubt that the whole issue of giving women a fair shot is a bigger and bigger issue than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I've always said women don't want any special treatment, but they want a fair game.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of industries, they haven't had it.
We had last week a new survey. Andy Challenger was in talking to us about how 48% of the companies, the business managers, his company has surveyed, they're reviewing practices inside of their companies. That seems positive. They're looking at the economics, pay scale, positions, that sort of thing. That feels positive.
Oh, absolutely. That's probably way, way overdue.
What would be something that you'd want to talk about this week? What can you tell our audience about why we should focus on International Women's Day? What kinds of issues should be front and center?
Well, I don't know I'm not such a proponent of a day, mm-hmm. so to speak, as much as I am just not forgetting things. You know, you in our industry, for example, women have come so far compared to the way it was when I started 33 years ago. But even still, we have, you know, it's little subtle things that sometimes make women their own worst enemies. This week, last week, I called an annuity company on behalf of a client, and the first thing the customer service person said to me was, "Well, I need to talk to the advisor." She said to me, "You're the assistant, right?" And I said, No, you're talking to the advisor.
Wow.
And what I wanted to say to her was, do you realize how that sounds?
Yeah.
30 years ago, that happened every day of the week, which is why I use Patricia as opposed to Pat in business, because the assumption was always that Pat was a man. But that kind of thing just shouldn't happen today.
How does that change?
How has it changed?
How does it change? I mean, so let's say that woman or someone like her is listening right now. How do you change the mindset? How do you change that?
Frankly, I probably should have very nicely said something to the effect of, you know, you need to think about certain things before you open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really offended. It's just I thought we had gone beyond that, I guess, is what I'm saying. But I think we just have to think about it. It's that simple.
I know that there are a lot of companies that do mentoring now. A lot of women are also doing a lot of mentoring. Are you involved with that? And what is that? What's that like?
Well, it's wonderful. Yeah. Morgan Stanley has some formal programs for mentoring interns and things on a corporate scale. But in our particular practice, I started out as a sole practitioner, as an advisor, as a financial planner. And about 13 years ago, asked a young woman to join me. She is a CPA by training, but she was brand new in our business, brand new at the firm, and kind of, I don't want to say she was floundering, but she just didn't have a real direction on how to build a business. So she joined me as a junior partner, and so there's no doubt that I have mentored her. Last week, for the first time, for example, she and I were both on the Barron's list. I've been on it many times, but she never had been, and she said, you know, if I hadn't had you as a mentor, I would not be as successful as I am, or at least I wouldn't have had the path I had. We're now mentoring another. So we now have a third partner who is a woman, and again, went out and got her financial planning license on her own, worked as an assistant, and wanted to become an advisor, and so we're mentoring her. And it's fun. I mean, there's nothing more fun than seeing somebody just blossom.
Yeah. I know that the instruction has always been, don't seek out your mentor, let somebody seek you out. That seems tough. I had a couple people tell me that, well, I'm kind of a shy one. I don't know, the mentor hasn't come calling yet. If you're the person wanting a mentor, how can we change that? Change the conversation where you find one. I know you mentioned the program at Morgan Stanley, but what if somebody isn't in that atmosphere and they want a mentor?
I think you have to be a little less shy. I don't know that you have to be terribly aggressive about it, but you have to let people know you're there. You know, if you're in the coffee room, or if you're in the lunchroom, or if you're in the ladies' room, or whatever, get to know some of the senior people in the office, because you never know who's looking for someone to add to their team.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of teams, the Cudaletta Group at Morgan Stanley, you have a wonderful team of women leaders there that are involved. Morgan Stanley, as a company, we need more Morgan Stanleys to do stuff like this, don't we?
Well, I think so. Yeah. I mean, we put our team together simply fortuitously. Mm-hmm. We didn't really set out to be all women. And there have been times when we've added a male assistant, for example, and it just hasn't worked out. For a variety of reasons. But there's no doubt we like being all female, but we certainly would, you know, if we were looking to add someone and added a male, that'd be fine, assuming he had the right work ethic and the right sense of ethics.
How has this helped Morgan Stanley as a whole? Because your team looks like a force to be reckoned with.
Well, I mean, we're pretty much independent. Mm-hmm. Yes, we work for Morgan Stanley, but as an advisor, you build your own practice.
Sure.
And I built my entire practice until Stacy and I became partners. So the first 20 years by going after women's business, no doubt about it. I did seminars for women, and they were educational. The firm's name never came up. But there was no doubt that women were thirsty and hungry to learn about finance, to learn how to manage their money, to learn what to do with their 401ks. And they were, in many cases, intimidated to either ask their spouses or their spouse's advisor. We still do seminars for women, which is the funny thing, and 30 years later, they still work.
How much of the conversation has to include men? Because I would imagine that having everybody involved in the conversation of changing the atmosphere is important. How would you talk to Ben about not being intimidated to come to the table and have these discussions?
Well, again, no one, you know, this is not a blame game. And as I said, in some cases, women have been their own worst enemies because some women have very passively, you know, sat back and said, let George do it, so to speak. So I think you just have to have the dialogue. I don't think it's a he said, she said. I don't think it's a, you know, she's a good girl, he's a bad guy kind of thing. Mm. That's not it. You just have to basically be willing to talk about some of these things.
I like your idea of having International Women's Day every day, not have it as a holiday, sort of a holiday like we're marking it one day.
Right.
Sometimes that can be counterproductive, having these commemorative
Well, events, sure. Right? I mean, you can pay a lot of attention to something, and basically all you're doing is paying lip service, and the next day everybody forgets it. And that's not how we get equality.
How are things going otherwise with you? Any news in your world?
No, things are good. The markets have been interesting the last few weeks, especially. Anyone who didn't expect some kind of correction and some kind of increase in volatility, I think, was naive. Nothing goes straight up. But no, other than that, everything's good. We're busy and bringing in new business all the time and hopefully maintaining the business we have and no complaints.
Well, it's wonderful seeing you again, and best of all of you, and please come back again.
Thank you much.
All right. Patricia Cutoletta is with us this morning, Executive Director and Financial Advisor at the Cutoletta Group, part of Morgan Stanley. And you can find more at morganstanley.com/Cutoletta Group.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures up 160 points. NASDAQ futures are up about 45. S&P futures are up about 13 points this morning. Target out with its earnings report this morning. Quarter four revenue, $22.77 billion compared to an estimate of $22.54. Same store sales up 3.6%, but look at this number. Digital sales in quarter four up 29% for Target. Now, commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Market headlines from yesterday. Wheat, soybeans were firm, and pork demand was impacted by wintry weather. Grain and soybean futures edged higher, some wheat contracts hitting more than a 1% gain, as weather forecasts showed little rain relief for dry wheat crops in the plains or drought-affected grain belts in major exporter Argentina. The May wheat contract up 9.25 cents yesterday, and wheat prices held near their highest level since July. April hogs up $1.22 a hundredweight in yesterday's trade, and April cattle ended $1.05 a hundredweight higher in the trade yesterday. Today in Des Moines, Iowa, Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue will be on hand to deliver remarks and swear in Bill Northey at the Iowa Ag Leaders Dinner. That will take place this evening in Des Moines, Iowa, at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. It'll be a good day for Bill and for agriculture. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday. It's March the 6th. Not a lot in the way of economic reports today, but a lot of Fed speakers out today. Lael Brainard will be giving a speech. Robert Kaplan, William Dudley. We'll also get a report on factory orders and another Treasury auction happening today as well. In terms of earnings, we've already seen Target, H&R Block coming today, Urban Outfitters as well. The retail earnings continue tomorrow with Costco and Dollar Tree, Kroger on Thursday. And then, of course, the big news this week will be the U.S. monthly jobs report coming on Friday. Just some of the things that could move the markets.